picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of Positive Living Vibrations with myself, Sarah Troy, and my beautiful guest today, Gabriella. I'm not going to attempt to say Gabriella's surname. She will come in and introduce herself properly. She's a beautiful Italian lady with a beautiful Italian name, and I don't want to do it a disservice. She is the author of The Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning. She is a flying inspiration to the world. She actually does fly. She is a lady that really has really spread her wings in her life and really branched out into embracing all its possibilities. She now lives in England, and she is a master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming. And she's literally lived and traveled around the world. She, you know, looks at life and from a holistic approach. She's an interpreter. Oh my goodness, the things that this lady has not done. Shih Tzu, massage, oriental diagnosis, feng shui, aura, soma. All these things we're going to be actually talking about today. But what we are going to be talking about is The Antarctic Odyssey, A New Beginning, her book. And she shares the adventures there of her inner journey with the world and the power of nature. But she also is a person that helps somebody with their feminine cycle and helps them gain confidence, authority, and fulfillment from their body and their life. So this is a lady that's taken a great journey in life to really understand everything. She's gone on a discovery, and she's not just learnt one thing and stuck with it. She's decided to make a smoker's board of it, a buffet of information. And she brings that information to you today to help you find fulfillment in your own life from living from the inside out. So let's take this journey with her and this flying inspiration. If you go to the site, you will actually see her with her glider plane. That takes a lot of guts to do, folks, to get into one of those things and go out there. And we are certainly talking to a gutsy lady. So, Gabriella, welcome to the show. Please let everybody know your surname.
Hello, Sarah. Thank you so much for your wonderful introduction. My surname is Guglielminotti Trivel. Yes, it's an Italian surname, and it is complicated at times also for Italians. So.
Well, I didn't want to do it a disservice. So.
It's a challenge for me to make anybody be able to pronounce it. But it's actually just long.
Yeah, well, you know, you're in England too, so I can imagine, you know, the difficulties that you have there as well with the name. But I guess you're Gabriella to a lot of people, full stop.
Yeah. But so, you know what? This is something interesting. You know, when you are born with a name like that, either becomes your daunting thing or it becomes your ace up your sleeve. And I remember after training in neuro-linguistic programming thinking, you know what? I'm going to put some of these tools that I learned into action immediately. And I thought, people always get a challenge with my surname, so let's just use it to make them feel at ease with it. And funnily enough, it's incredible, the power of intention. Mm-hmm. I put it down to the power of intention. Because whenever I see people starting googling their eyes and getting nervous about it, I just say, well, don't worry, you just read it syllable by syllable, you'll be fine. And most of the time, they do read it fine. So that shows that you can really do anything you want to do.
Oh, yeah. There's always ways of kind of getting around things, isn't there, of a new delivery, you know, presenting things in a different way. But, you know, you really have traveled far and wide, you know, Europe, Asia, Africa, America, Antarctica. I think you probably were born with wings.
I
and
wish.
yes, exactly. It would save a great deal on the wallet, wouldn't it?
Yes.
I always say that, you know, I wish I had Scotty as a best friend to just beam me everywhere. That's what I would like. But I mean, you're a traveler, you're a discoverer, you're an adventurer. You know, for you, it's really about really discovering life. But what had you leave Italy to go to England?
Personal reason. Basically, I was after I finished my studying in Italy, I was working as self as a freelance tour leader for different. Different campuses in Italy, and I was assigned for 3 months to the Maldives, and it's during that time that I met a British man, and so eventually went to visit him at his place, which was London, and soon after I ended up moving there for good. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't have possibly chosen such a north place, north country. Mm-hmm. Intentionally. Let's say it in this way.
It was your path.
Yeah, God knows.
And you know, there's worse places than London to live. So,
yeah.
And certainly is a good springboard to everywhere else. So you've been there now. You say 17 years, but you know, you've done so much. You know, so clearly it's been a journey of discovery. But you know, tell us a little bit first about the Antarctic Odyssey, the New Beginning. Because this is really what you're sharing about your inner journey and the incorporation of nature in it.
Yeah. Difficult to get my head around it even now. let's say just to backtrack a bit so people can understand. I moved to UK and then got married and then got divorced. And went through a very kind of, let's say, challenging time. When, I did refound of myself, trained in neurolinguistic programming and other things. And little by little, I came out of my little crisis hole or however you prefer to call it. And I found my wings again. And funnily enough, my redirection, it was just a couple of days after my last court hearing. Unfortunately, it was a kind of acrimonious and difficult divorce. I came across this opportunity to join this trip that was actually led by two Australian people. And they were taking people to Antarctica. And the purpose of it wasn't just to go there and see the fauna and flora, etc., or the ice, rather. But it was to face fears and limiting beliefs. That was just the scope of the journey itself. And me, having, of course, recently trained in neurolinguistic programming, which is all about the mind of meta, you know, and how you can maximize your power,
yes,
et cetera, to do and get what you want. I thought, oh, what a better path for me, being such an adventurer, born adventurer type of person. And so that's why I thought I have to do this. And also coming out of a period where I really had lost myself.
Yeah.
Not just, let's say emotionally more than anything else, also, of course, psychologically. But I had to follow my heart. And what my heart wanted the most, it was to test myself and really travel. It's my default or reset mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I pack my rucksack or bag or whatever it is, I always feel like something, a shiver going down my spine, because my spirit just comes alive. And so
yes,
that's why I joined that trip. But then, why to write a book about it? It wasn't my intention at all. I was thinking actually to produce a documentary out of it, because a month before going, I had this my heart knocking at my door again, saying, you know, I mean, there are not very many people that have that opportunity, so you have to do something about it so other people will benefit from it. And I thought, okay, I will keep a diary or something. But then I feel it wasn't enough, and so I thought, what else could I do? And I thought, well, you know, the best and more capturing medium is actually video, you know. So I thought, I could film. But then I didn't have enough funding. I didn't have any funding at all. So for pay, you know, for a cameraman to come with me or stuff like that. So the only solution was to go and get a camcorder and go and do it.
Right.
and just to add another challenge to the challenge. So
well, you don't let them get in your way. That's for sure. You go look for solutions. So that's great.
Yeah. So that's what I done. But then the unforeseeable happened during the trip, and I had an accident. So I lost my gear, and it's all obviously very well explained in my book. But the point is that I'm saying this is that I came back with this thing, project not finished, unresolved. And so what happened with me was that I have this inner voice, you know, going on, and like kind of, again, the heart knocking at my door, and became louder and louder, and until I didn't know what to do about it, because I couldn't, I didn't know how to proceed with my plan. And so I had, until I had the idea of, why don't you write a book, Gabriella? Would you mean Octetriva? Why don't you write a book?
Yeah.
And so I did. I went away, and I wrote it in a couple of weeks.
Wow, that's focus. That definitely is focus.
and anyway, in the book, I really tell my soul, feelings, thoughts, experiences, everything, uncensored. I put in it everything that really happened to me while I was down under.
So instead of it becoming...
Naked.
Yeah. It became a soul journey that you shared. So really, if you'd done the video, it would have been something that would have stimulated the senses. But by doing the book, it comes from something that's deep down within you. So it becomes your vision instead of somebody else's vision.
Yeah, and I still am releasing some footage that I've been editing since I came back. So on my website, there are some videos that people can watch with some snippet of it. And they are kind of dramatic and kind of, the book is not about location. Of course, Antarctica is a beautiful place to go, and there is less than 1% of the population of the globe who goes there. So, but it's not about that. It's actually about what goes on inside.
Mm-hmm.
That is really, in life makes a difference, right?
Yes, and it came to you at a very poignant time in your life when you were at a new beginning. And so it was very cathartic, you know, in letting go of your past and embracing your future.
And I tell you something, it's almost paradoxical that I had to go to the freezer of the earth to listen to my heart and allow my heart to melt.
Yeah.
It's kind of paradoxical.
Absolutely. Yeah. Rather beautiful, actually. Relationships, when you've gone through them, that go wrong, there are so many questions. You know, what did I do wrong? Should I have done something different? Did I become something different? And there's so many questions. And then they do need to be asked, because we need to understand, you know, our part in it, because a relationship is always a two-way street. But I think most of the time, and especially with women, is the melding to the man's wishes at the expense of giving up on themselves. And, you know, as you said, you kind of lost yourself in your marriage. And taking that trip to the Antarctica is a way of finding yourself again, finding your passion and igniting who you were and not compromising or just blending for anybody else.
Well, yeah. I know I'm not alone having experienced that. I think there are many women who experience that at that point, at some point in their life. Maybe even for different reasons, not necessarily must have been because of relationship breakup, or it can be for other reasons. But it's kind of, as a woman now speaking in my, let's say, more mature time, I can say it's so important for any woman to maybe experience that by coming back home. It's almost like when you come back home, you appreciate yourself so much more, mm-hmm. and you understand so much more about you and what is important to you. And one of the things that really is so fundamental for anybody, but maybe not many people pay attention to, is to understand your value, what really drives you. And for relationship especially, sometimes relationships don't work because two people with such different values,
yes.
they get together. And it's a bit like kind of, you know, having two horses. One pull a the cart left and the other one pull the cart right.
Yep.
And what do you get? A broken cart.
Yep, exactly.
Or a broken heart.
Yes. And how many of us have been there? And the thing is when the heart falls in love with somebody, you know, it isn't always a forever. You know, you are this person at that time, they are that person, and those two people fell in love. But then life, you know, takes both of you on a different path. And if you don't kind of hold on to each other and help each other through those paths of growth, you end up growing apart. So, you know, we have to be careful when we fall in love that it isn't just the heart or isn't just the head, and that really it is encompassing the whole of us. And we enter into a relationship in partnership and not in submission.
Well, yes. Funnily enough, it's easy to speak these words, which are kind of very rational and mental in a way. They are on a mental level, reasoning about something that has happened before in our past. But on the whole, on the spur of the moment, obviously, when one falls in love, as the words say, you fall.
Yes.
Yes. And sometimes you hit your bum and it's really painful. Sometimes you hit your head, it's even more painful.
You're dazed and confused.
Yeah, it's very confused. But funnily enough, I think it has got its purpose, because if we would enter into a relationship not that way, I don't think we would ever enter one.
Yeah. Yes.
So in a way, it's a shortcut. Oh, okay, I can talk about my experience because I think I'm more entitled to that. So it's definitely for me was a shortcut to get to know myself a lot much better and a lot quicker. There are many different ways one can do that. For me, it was that way. And it happens to many women as well.
Yes, yes.
I know it's a big club.
And who you were when you married him and who you are today are two different people. And, you know, I think if any advice we're going to give to young lovers is, you know, the euphoria of being in love can cloud you. And really what you've got to do is, you know, think of the hardest times you could ever come across in your life. And would you know you'd be there for each other? Would you want each other to be there for each other, you know, in that time of crisis? Because I find that's, You know, when you see the true colors of somebody is when a challenge comes up. And that's when you kind of find out how strong that love is. So you've got to like the people you love, because the liking is going to last longer sometimes than the love. The love is going to get challenged. You've got to like yourself too.
Yeah. Well, I can definitely say that if you don't have a very deep self-love, when the test comes, because the test will come, it's called life, then it becomes really complicated and tricky and painful. And it's so easy then to lose yourself. Whereas if you have a solid base, you know, foundation, and I'm talking about yourself, right?
Yes.
So I'm talking about self-love, self-knowledge, and
self-respect.
Self-respect, exactly. And all the self-possible hyphen, other words you want to put after that, then it's different because you are a rock. So whatever happens, that, you know, you might be shaken and you might be slapped in the face or whatever, but you will be able to stand the test. What for me wasn't like that. I thought, I've been into personal development for a long time, so I kind of came across it via macrobiotics in my 20s, so early 20s. So, I mean, by then I was already mid-30s, late 30s, you know, early 40s. So, I could say that I thought that I knew myself, or definitely I would have said, oh, well, I love myself, but no. Or at least not in the way that I know of now.
Yeah.
And that came out of that.
Yes.
So I can really say that I consciously have no regret and I have no resentment in my heart for what happened in my relationship. Because if it created me, it gave me the chance to be more me and explore more. And that, I think, is the most beautiful part of life.
Yes, and the embracing the love of self, you suddenly see such wonderful possibilities before you, and you know, create or embrace the opportunities that are there, because we don't put those barriers on ourselves anymore. You know, we understand that in the love of self, we learn to love life and we learn to explore life, and you're a great example of that. And so loving ourselves is actually something we have to do first. We have to do, because we can't honestly enter into another relationship without that true love of self. Because then who is that person loving? You want someone to love you for who you are. So love yourself so they know how to love you.
Yeah, and also otherwise, what I can also share that I think if I'd known back then it would have helpful is the fact that we all can have some baggage, or we can call it shadow or hang-ups or issues, whatever. And so when we go into a relationship, the two baggages
come
together.
And they clash.
A very heavy baggage.
And they're not designer baggage. They just don't go together.
Yes, exactly. So it becomes very heavy because it's a double one. You know, it's not just your own. And it can become unbearable.
Yeah.
And and also unmanageable.
Yes.
And also all the things you can think of. You know, I remember when I was younger, and you would hear, you know, those kind of bit horrific stories about women, etc., or things you read in the paper, and you think, oh, well, how can that happen? And then, maybe a little later in your life, you might find yourself in one of those positions, and you think, how that happen? Is it really me living this?
Yeah.
And I remember being in that position, in this utter disbelief, And when you are not a disbelief, it's very easy to jump into or to fall or slip into denial. Mm-hmm. Because you can't see, you can't believe that it's you, that you are experiencing that. And when you fall into the trap called denial, it's very easy just to pretend it's not happening to you.
It's very
and
easy.
And you let go.
Yeah.
And then you postpone it, basically, yeah, until it crushes you.
Yeah, until the pressure cooker goes off and you have nothing, you know, you have to deal with it, you know, to clear everything off the ceiling. And also, a lot of the issue, I think, sometimes is, you know, beliefs. And, you know, very often we're living other people's beliefs or, you know, society's dictation on beliefs. And we're not being true to our own beliefs. And I think that that gets in the way because it affects your insecurity or ego and you're not being true to who you are. You know, life is a journey, isn't it? What we're going to know at 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, etc., each decade is going to bring new information based on our experiences, based on our adventures and how open-minded and open-souled we are. And it's an extraordinary, wonderful journey. But we have to be willing to let go of things that don't serve us because that extra luggage gets heavier and heavier the more you carry it.
But the thing is, the funny thing is, if you realize that it's there, the luggage is already something.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you are not even aware.
Mm-hmm. Just know you've got a sore back from carrying everything.
Yeah. You just feel exhausted,
yes,
and you don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. In the moment, obviously, it's tough.
Yes.
But there is a new horizon for anybody who might be in that situation because there always is. And I have to say that I would have never thought that one day in my life I would experience feeling suicidal.
Mm.
Because it was something so far away from whatever I could imagine would happen to me. But that was the turning point when I got so shocked that I thought, that can't be. Oh my God, I have to do something about this.
Yes, that's the warning sign, most certainly. You're not traveling on the right path, and it's time to redirect. And, you know, as I think human beings have to also understand we have to be accountable for our own choices and our own directions. And we can seek guidance and help and nurturing from people. But ultimately, it is only us that can make our own journey. Nobody can make it for us.
Yes, and also I want to add something that you mentioned that is so important. You were mentioning the, you know, beliefs, and I was mentioning values.
Yes.
I mean, the most sobering thing that possibly happened to me, it was realizing that, I mean, however hard you try, you will never be able to live to anybody's expectation, conforming to anybody else's beliefs, except yours.
Precisely.
So that, I mean, I keep saying this so many times because every time I say it, it means something deeper in myself. Yeah, just hearing my voice saying, I tried to be normal. I really tried hard. And by saying normal, I mean having a kind of normal life.
Well, fitting into the mold, so to speak, yeah.
Yes,
what
exactly.
Is normal, you know, it's don't rock the boat, don't be adventurous, don't seek your own life, be a droid. That's normal.
Yes, and then I wonder why it didn't work. How could I possibly thought it would work?
Exactly. So against your grain, most certainly not. And you know, really,
yes.
Who decides who's normal?
Yeah, and yes, we are all normal in our abnormality.
Mm.
So the sooner we embrace our abnormality, which is wonderful, the better it is for us. Because the sooner we can spread our wings.
Yeah, and
there's nothing more beautiful than discovering yourself.
And embracing your flaws. You know, when not, you know, perfection is in the acceptance and the liberation of our imperfection. You know, there is nothing that is perfect because no four people will ever look at something and all agree it's all perfect. You know, perfection lies in that ability to say, you know, I'm weird, but I'm wonderful, and I love who I am, and embrace that. That is perfection.
Yeah, and funny enough, knowing that somewhere in the world there will be somebody who will love you to death
Yes.
just the way you are.
Yay!
You don't really have to change at
Now we
all.
need you know the directory and how to find them. Another show. But we have to find it in ourselves first, don't we?
Well, the thing is, I don't think you have to find it because if you are in your family, he will find you. I always believe that this, you know, when it's like the same saying that when the student is ready, the master shows up. You know, the teacher shows up. It's the same thing because it's always a relationship, right? Either it's a scholarship type of relationship, or it's an intimate relationship, or it's a working relationship. It doesn't matter, or friendship. You know, when we, according to who we are in the moment, we attract the right people, just right for us in that moment. So, I also find very fascinating the fact that I think it was Carl Jung saying who mentioned this. First, but it doesn't matter if he was seeing somebody else. The fact that we always fall in love with our unconscious. So the person who we are bound to fall in love with, it will always be embodying the part of ourselves that we don't like. So, you know, after that very moment of total oblivion. Of first light, first of you know, first love at first sight, right? Where you fall and you fall in love, but then there is the sobering time when you start seeing all the other bits.
Exactly.
And so, if you know that those things that you start noticing that actually they're not very to your taste or they're uncomfortable, whatever. If you're aware that those bits are actually not belonging to that person, just a mirror to you, then again, it doesn't make the pill nicer, but you don't clash against it.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, people will talk about compromise, and I think people have to understand what compromise is that we're all going to have idiosyncrasies, and there are, you know, and you can't pick on every single one of them. And you know, we have to allow each other to have our own kind of expression, and it doesn't mean you're going to embrace every single thing about that other person. And as long as it doesn't, you know, like nails on the chalkboard, you know, l let each person have their own identity and doing their own thing, and embrace that. I think people think that when they get into a relationship, it's all about that they have to do absolutely everything together 24/7, and they lose their individuality. And when you lose that, you lose a purpose in life. We all need a purpose, don't we?
Yes, and also I have to say about this, which is such an important point for women, that for me, what it really changed everything, it was the fact of becoming aware of my feminine cycle. It really was a wonderful thing that to me added so much. And it was such a big journey of self-discovery that it really changed the perspective I had on so many things about myself. And that's why now I do what I do, because I can see that what I've been through as a woman, it is very common, the fact of losing your identity, or at least not appreciating who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And again, what do you do in those moments? Because when you are in those moments, you're kind of lost.
Yes.
You won't reason about it.
Yeah.
You just feel crap.
Right. Exactly. So is it through that self-discovery that took you on this journey now to help women understand that their feminine cycle?
Well, what happened for me was that I came across this body of work by sheer chance, but it wasn't, because I expressed in my heart a desire to know more about this, because while I was going through my challenging time, through divorce, change of career, etc., I was missing my cycle. And because I'd been into personal development, alternative medicine for long enough, I knew that I needed to find out more about it. And I didn't know what to do exactly, so I just expressed this desire in my heart that I needed something that would come my way to show me, teach me what I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it happened, and I have to say that when I found out that actually something so part of womanhood,
yes,
like your feminine cycle, is something that can give you so much knowledge about yourself. I couldn't believe it. Because I always knew deep in my body there was something important there, but nobody has ever shared anything about it.
No, just that it's a curse rather than anything else, right? You know, the detriments are not the embracements of it.
Yeah, but exactly. You just said it. There's no embracement of it. It's almost considered like the partner you don't like.
Yeah.
So you project on it, everything is uncomfortable to you, or you repress or deny of yourself. And that's exactly what happens when women experience, menstrual problems. But I didn't know myself, All I can share about my personal experience was that I started tracking my cycle with an intuition that was coming from my own womb, possibly.
Yes.
Because nobody has ever told me anything about it, definitely not the woman in my family. So I just did it intuitively, but not knowing why. And I had to find out why when I was in my 40s, you can imagine. I mean, a strange journey, right? Sometimes life is weird. And so it was, possibly for me, a journey that was mainly unconscious till then. And then when I find out more about it, and I thought, my goodness, I remember having been to this workshop and about a feminine cycle, and I was sitting there at the end, and I couldn't believe that something so simple hadn't been handed over to me as being a woman. I had the right now. And I thought immediately, how would it could have been so different by now? Because this would have empowered me so much. So why? And that's a natural question that we do ask ourselves when something so strange happens to us, right? Why? But then you can't go back in time. You can only make a decision for the future.
Yes, exactly. Yes. I mean, once the light bulb goes off or a realization is realized, you don't kick yourself for not knowing it sooner. It's the knowledge is here now. What are you going to do with it? And so you decided really to run with this knowledge. And now you help women actually completely understand the loss of identity, lack of direction, the disconnection to their body, their lack of libido and intimacy with their partners, understanding all their physical problems, the cravings, the mood swings, the weight gain, the low self-esteem, all of that stuff that comes along with our feminine cycle. But you help them understand that so it doesn't become something that is, the curse that is experienced all the time, but the benefits that come out of that and the things that you can know about yourself. And so
basically the enemy becomes your friend, your best friend.
Yes. And that's really a nice thing to do because, we do look upon it as something, oh God, a curse, why didn't men get given this? And they got given it in their own way. But it's when we look at, how it breaks us down into different emotions, it really is a time of reflection, isn't it? It's a time of really understanding who we are.
It's basically, just to explain it in a nutshell, it's like a personal development course built into the cells of our body, human. And we have nothing to do, we have to do nothing about it except just to follow it. It's almost like kind of... it's like the moon that, wanes and wets, right? And that's exactly the same. The woman goes through the month through four different type of energy that through the menstruating years shape her and make her the wonderful woman who she is.
Mm-hmm.
But if the woman is deaf and blind,
yes,
and doesn't want to know, guess what? Life has got a way to make herself heard,
yes,
and seen. And
women are emotional creatures. And that's actually our gift, isn't it? Because through that emotion, we have so much more empathy and understanding and solution finding. And if we can tap into that emotion, instead of it draining us or upsetting us, but tap into it in comprehension, in love, we then see how it serves us. And I think actually the feminine cycle is one that really forces you into these emotions that when we tune into them, they can work for us.
Yes, but also it's a beautiful highway to heaven.
Yeah.
What I mean by it is that if you really follow your flow during the month, during the four different weeks, when you come to menstruation and you really are with it, with your body, and you honor it, and you are with it, mentally, emotionally, physically, all one with it, you can reach wonderful states of bliss,
mm-hmm.
which are altered consciousness. It's a highway to heaven, really, that can't really happen if you are not interested or you are not even attuned to it. It's almost like being a radio,
Yes.
And you, instead of putting the right frequency, you're always on a different one, then you can only just hear that noise, that noise all the time that always tells you are not on the right frequency. And it can be really annoying, isn't it?
Yes, and you need to tune into yourself. I was just thinking of something. I think the reason why women, it was so against war, and that if we were in the ruling capacity, we wouldn't see these wars. We would see, looking for solutions to work things out. It really does stem from our menstrual cycle, because it forces us to go into different moods, and each one of those moods is part of an equation of an understanding and how to work things out. But as you said, honoring our womb, that's where life starts. The man is the seed, but we are the growth. That's where it starts. And so really, people think we honor a baby from the moment it's born. But you need to honor your womb in preparation for that child, for that life, for that hope that you're going to bring into the world. So we don't need to look at it as a curse anymore, but as a gift and a blessing.
And also, I have to say, like everything in nature has got a purpose. It's very cleansing, therapeutic to go through. It's very tiring. It can be very tiring, but to go through these different emotions, it's like being on an adventure every single month.
Mm-hmm.
That if you like adventure, see it as an adventure, it's exciting. If you like, you don't like the idea of going on an adventure, you are fixed on the fact that you want stability because maybe you're being conditioned to think that it's good to be the same every single day, then of course that clashes against your nature.
Yeah.
Because your body cannot do that. You know, you were mentioning nature about me going to Antarctica. Yes, I mean, the contact with nature was something amazing and always something that struck me since I was very little. But I have to say, the most amazing thing for me it was discovering the amazing landscape,
mm-hmm.
inner landscape you can experience when you're aware, you are an aware woman and happy to be a woman. So embracing your nature and all the gifts that come with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, being a woman is really an extraordinary thing. And, you know, the gift of the emotions, the gift of the cycles, the gift of our perspective, the way we see things. You know, we're solution-based creatures, you know, because, you know, when things happen in the family with the children, or, you know, there is no food tonight, you know, if we went into panic, nothing would ever happen. But as a natural instinct, we go into solution. Okay, well, what are we going to do about this? What can we rummage up? And that is, I think, the mere nature of a woman. And when we embrace that and open up to those possibilities, we actually discover we are so much more and capable of so much more than we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah, well, unfortunately or fortunately, we have been through a few thousands of years of patriarchy, which obviously conditioned women to think that we are not good enough,
yeah.
or up for it, for the job, etc., etc. It's been what it's been. But now I think it's time to
change the guard.
To create what I call the woman of the 21st century, who is just a woman who is just simply aware of herself, happy in her skin and her body, honestly, and just lives happily.
Yes.
In a grounded way and just being content. There's such a peace in it.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, that's what we need as humankind.
Yes.
That's what the planet needs, really. Planet meaning humankind, because the planet will be fine. It's strong enough. It's been around for billions of years.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, you know, we've been around here, the block a few times, you know. You know, we've many lifetimes, many cycles.
Yes,
so
yeah. Yes. It's true, but compared to the time of existence of the planet, it's nothing.
Yeah.
Seconds.
Exactly. But yeah, look at what we do to it when we are here. You know, I think appreciation and value certainly is something that needs to be, you know.
You know what? We do to the planet the exact thing that we do to ourselves.
Yeah.
So if it's a woman talking, like in my case, what we do to our planet is exactly what I do to myself. So if I don't love myself, I can't expect others to do that to themselves and the planet.
Uh-huh.
So the thing is, the real turning point is when we, instead of looking out as an opportunity for us to project everything that is inside ourselves we don't like, it's just looking in. I keep looking in.
Mm-hmm.
And when we look out and we see something we don't like, get turn back inwards and see, and then we sort it out inside. So, and this is so pertinent about the feminine cycle, because really, we got everything inside. We don't really need to go out there doing anything.
No, and you know, it's about being inspired by life. You know, I mean, you hold workshops, and it's to help people find their own bliss and their own purpose in life. You're not teaching them to do that. You're guiding them to do that. You're inspiring them and sharing with them the tools on how they can find it within themselves. Because I think what happens in a lot of ways, people teach something. And what they're doing is they're teaching an understanding and a perspective. But when we inspire people to look at it and what does it mean to you, then we're teaching people to understand it from their own perspective. And that's what we're here for, isn't it? To help people understand all the very many ways that you can look at something. But what does it mean to you? How does it resonate to you?
Yeah, and it's like the feminine cycle can be taught. It's something you experience.
Yes.
And another person can only be a mirror to you and just maybe ask the right question. So you start thinking for yourself and you start paying attention to you what is already in your body. So we are so much used to think that we have to go out there and get what we are missing inside, but actually it's not what is true. It's just the opposite. And maybe the feminine cycle is the best example of that. You have to allow your cycle to teach you what you need to be taught.
Yes.
So it's an inner teaching. It's self-teaching, right?
Yes, it is. Because you're a guide at helping them to look in. I mean, you can't open them up and look inside, but what you can do is help them. It could essentially take their eyes out and look inside, you know, and what to, you know, sometimes we're too close to ourselves to be able to see ourselves properly, and seeing ourselves through other people's eyes and what really is possible helps us see ourselves so much better, you know, like reflection.
It's very... I can say this, to look inside is not the most comfortable thing,
yeah,
and most obvious thing to do sometimes in life. But what I learned out of my life and experience is that actually there's nothing else to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when we are in those dark places, that's the last thing we would like to do.
Yeah.
Because it's a dark place.
Yes.
And it hurts, and it's lonely, and everything.
But we have to understand what that dark place is, though. It's not
absolutely
so much... That dark place is a discontent with your circumstances. But it should not be a discontent with your possibilities.
No, because possibilities are infinite.
Exactly. So if we understand when we hit that depression, that darkness, you know, I am at my lowest here. If I am thinking about ending my life or, you know, doing harm to myself, it's because I hate where I'm at. Then the only solution I have is to get out of where I'm at and go somewhere to where I love. And, you know, and look upon it as that great big huge red flag in your life of... You know, come on, man, wake up, shake up, and get moving. Change the record.
Yeah. You know, it was such a sombering moment for me when I realized that I was focusing more on this rather than life,
uh-huh.
Which is not something that I would say would come natural, spontaneous to me. It took me a while to realize that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that when I started noticing that, I thought, oh, something wrong with me, because I never been like this before.
Yeah.
but yeah, it's through those sobering moments that we really grow. And it's an opportunity to embrace who we discard as not nice, which is actually, it's not that it's ugly, we just don't know it.
Yeah.
It's like a subject we don't know much about it, and we think, oh, no, I'm not interested in that. The moment we start reading about it, it becomes fascinating.
Yes. Yeah.
And anything can be, funnily enough, anything can be fascinating.
We have an open mind.
It just depends on the amount of information you have about it.
And how it's presented. You know,
of course.
You know, you can have some people who could read you the yellow pages and make it fascinating, and other people that can make you want to, you know, jump off a bridge. So it's in the presentation as well, and I can imagine your workshops will be beautifully presented with a great deal of exuberance, and a lot of passion.
Yes, but what I would like to also mention, because for me, it seems to this day, sometimes I can't believe it's happened, is that how I'm now in a very fulfilling and beautiful relationship. Intimate relationship, so with a partner. And just thinking that only 7 years ago, I was in a totally different place. It almost sounds like kind of impossible that something so different can happen to you, right?
Yep.
And that is to show that really when you I've changed the software, not the hardware.
Yes, you changed the programming. So, you rewrote a new program. Absolutely.
Yeah, and going to those places where I felt it was really kind of difficult, challenging, and painful, all the rest of it, triggered in me a desire to know, wanted to know more and cleanse, it might sound like or look like a miracle, but it's not. It's just the amount of work you've done that has created what you really maybe want. Mentioning the cycle. I'm in a beautiful relationship where I share all this deep and fulfilling knowledge with my partner, and it's been possibly the most rewarding thing to share this knowledge with him, because he has his share of life experience and has been through many different relationships. So not a spring chicken, you would call him, right? Mm. So it was so amazing and refreshing to see that he left it all up in a way, eagerly to learn and see his eyes goggle and say to me, "Oh my God, now I understand. Now I can see why certain things were happening," and all the rest. It would have saved some of my previous marriages, maybe, if I had that.
Yeah.
And this coming from a person who has never been into the so-called personal development, right?
Right.
So a total different. He's an engineer, so I'm saying this just to say, very grounded, practical type of person, right? Not a philosopher, right, or psychologist or anything like it. But just to say that this is so important, the life-changing knowledge that we all have. It's just, it is not there, covered with so much conditioning, and it's just there to be found.
I mean, this isn't just for women, is it? I mean, it's for women to understand. Embracing that cycle and all that it means to them. But it's also for men to understand women's empowerment through this. So, you know, they know how to cope with a woman when they're going through their cycle and those moods, but how to use it, you know, to the greatest benefit, and times to let her just reflect and revive. And if he understands that cycle of a woman, he knows that, you know, you're not going to come in and ask her to do something, you know, magnanimous when she's at a time period where it is reflection or body nurturing. You know, you choose your moments because you understand that cycle of when to come in and when to demand or when to want something and when not to. And I think this isn't just for women understanding, it's for their partners to understand the women, so therefore it makes a better relationship.
Yeah, it can deepen the relationship to such a level which really one has to experience to understand it. Also, this knowledge can deepen the self-awareness of a woman so much that she becomes an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And because she inspired her man, you know, for the man, it becomes natural to synchronize with her cycle, because we all cycle everything nature does.
Yes.
So it becomes a beautiful dance, tango for two, right?
Uh-huh.
It takes two to tango, and that's exactly it.
And so, to go with the flow in life.
Exactly. But apparently, I don't know, I want to learn tango, but if I was informed right, it's the man leading in tango dance, right?
Right.
So in reality, in this life dance, is the woman who leads.
Yeah.
So then the man can follow, but that doesn't mean they become submissive. It's just he becomes part of this wonderful adventure that takes two to be the adventure that it can be.
But that's true of life, though. It does take two. It takes a respect for each one of us and what we bring to the table. You know, the feminine emotion and cycle and complexities of a woman, you know, the strength and the intrigue and the intellect of a man, you know, we've all got it, but it's when we learn to embrace, respect, value, and collaborate with each other, now we can really form a relationship that can embrace and work.
Yeah, and also for the man is a wonderful opportunity to really embrace his feminine side.
Yeah.
We both have both.
Yes.
And so something that is so irresistible for a woman is to be in the presence of a man who is in contact with his feminine part.
Yeah. Yes.
Because he's an understanding man, magnanimous man, he's a warrior, found enough. You can't be a warrior, meaning an honorable man, if you are not in touch with your feminine side.
Totally. It's being in touch with the consciousness, you know, and not being afraid to be gentle, and understanding that sometimes love and gentility will win the war. And I think that makes, you know, a better man, for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And I really believe if women become aware of themselves and embrace themselves with joy and passion, things can be so different.
And they're becoming that way, aren't they? They're becoming that way.
Yeah, and then there is a big surge about the feminine energy, the goddess or whatever, is, you know, expressed in different way with different words. But I think it's just time.
Well, it is time we bring back that balance, because it has been out of balance for far too long. And, you know, it's not that women want to rule, it's that women would just like to take the reins for a while to bring things back into balance and more back into a sensibility.
Yeah, and then, you know, we are here to rule together.
Yes.
To have a beautiful dance. It's not a question of
one leading over the other. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been like that, or definitely has felt like that for a long time.
Yeah.
But we can invent something different, something much more human.
Yeah.
Or humankind.
Yes, well, you know, cosmically human, you know, because I mean, we have to start bringing in the universe here and allowing it to guide us. And, you know, not just let our survival, you know, get in the way, but, you know, look at our thrival and how we can thrive in life when we embrace all that we are, both man and woman.
Yeah.
You know, got to stop pointing fingers and saying you're not, and start embracing, oh, but you are, you know, And then we might just find some of that happiness that everybody seeks and less discontent.
Yes, and also, yeah, I think happiness is pertinent to nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because nature, if you look in a place where it hasn't been interfered too much by humankind, you know, you see things thrive. Everything is abundant and luscious.
Mm-hmm.
It's just we perceive it. We have this selected way of perceiving things as lack, but it's not. It's like a tree when blossoms, it's covered with bloom, right? There is just one or two. And the same thing is when bare fruits, right? Like in autumn, you know, it's covered with fruit, you know.
Yes.
Most of them, they go and fertilize the ground because
yeah.
there are too many. So, and the same thing, the planet is plentiful, and so is humankind. It's just we have to change our software.
Yes, we so do. We so do. But, you know, this shows like this, we're helping people understand that that's what it is. It's, you know, it's the reprogramming, you know, erasing beliefs that are holding you back, embracing that love within, you know, embracing all your complexities, your cycles, your flow, everything that you are, because it's what makes you so wonderful. I see you've got a number of events coming up in London, and I see you've got Life Effects that's being presented on September 6th, and I can see that probably gets signed up, a lot of people speaking, and you're speaking at it. So people can actually find that on your website, flyinginspiration.co.uk. This one's under page and events. But would you also like to let people know how they can get your book, how they can book you for a workshop or for a speaking engagement, et cetera, et cetera?
Yes, they can contact me on flyinginspiration.com or .co.uk on my contact me page, and I'm happy to help them in any way that I can, either if they are men or women or couples. But also I would like to encourage people that find what we shared interesting. Please contact me. I'm happy to give away a handout, which is about vaginal breathing. That is very simple handout, but it can be very, very useful for both men and women because we both have genitals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, I would be delighted to give away my book for people who want to find out what happened to me in the freezer of the earth. And it's full of beautiful pictures anyway, so definitely enjoyable.
Yes.
Not just to read. And I would love to have, obviously, the feedback of it, as I really put my soul, heart and soul in it. And the purpose of writing it was to share what was so important for me so that hopefully might enlighten, inspire, help, or nourish somebody else.
Beautiful. And, you know, this is what we're needing is, we haven't been given permission to embrace or to place importance upon ourselves or to, you know, learn to love or understand who we are. It was always about servitude, you know, and sacrifice. And we're now realizing that if we don't place importance upon ourselves, if we don't find that love of self, of who we are, what we're here for, and everything that makes us what we are that person. That person who loves themselves, their life, their purpose, is going to be a far more abundant person that will contribute to the world than people who are lost, disconnected, and feeling, what are we here for? So it's very, very important to place importance upon yourself. And this is a program that will help you discover your beautiful, intricate complexities that make you and empower you to be who you are. So I encourage you to follow this path and know more from Gabriella. It's been a wonderful show. I've really enjoyed interviewing you. You are an extraordinary person who's done so much, and you're so giving with what you've done because you wish to share it with the world and help other people find their wings and take flight and fly solo themselves. So thank you for being who you are, being the diva that you are, the dreamer, inspirer, visualer, and aspirer. And thank you for inspiring other people to spread those wings, follow their dreams, see their vision, and in turn then inspire others to follow that as well. So you're a wonderful gift. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah, for having me on the show. For me, it's been beautiful, and I can't find anything more enjoyable than just sharing what is in my heart. And so thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, my pleasure. And understand this, folks. We have to go through the darkness to understand what the light is and which light to let in. And it all comes from your own self-discovery to understand what your purpose is and also to be a part of the equation and healing this planet. It is within us, and it's people like Gabriella that can guide you in and open up your doors, open up your windows into your heart, soul, mind, and body to understand what your purpose is. So please do embrace, share this show around with friends, talk about it, look up her workshops. Read her book because these are the tools that are going to help you discover all that you can be. Her site again is flyinginspiration.co.uk, and you can find all her information on there. And thank you so much for your generosity of giving away your book. I know whoever gets that is going to be most certainly inspired. And I have really, really enjoyed interviewing you and hope to have you back again on a round table, with some other people on this. And, let's expand this information up even more.
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much, Sarah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So, folks, until the next time, please be kind to yourself. Bye for now.